Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
BetOnline.ag is your number one source for all of your basketball info, stats, news, and scores. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest player reports for this year's pro basketball playoffs. BetOnline is always your sports information headquarters this season, as we have you covered for all of your sports wagering needs. Basketball, MLB, NHL hockey, right to UFC and boxing. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to get your betting info, including a live betting option and your favorite casino and card games you can play right from your home. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Be sure to use our promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Suave. I've been in my bag for a while, I'm invincible. Story of a young boss, grinding shit critical. Calling on my bros one time, cause you special. I had some hood dreams of right rounds for my mentor. Every target that I shoot is on point like a pencil. Different route, changed relationships, I'm so sorry. Came up from the trenches and I made it, I say hardly.
Alrighty, guys, we are back with another episode of the What's In Your Bag podcast presented by Bet Online. Today, we got, as you can see, my four brothers with us. The barbershop, you know what I'm saying? This is the group chat manifested into real life. To give you guys a little bit of background on the barbershop, number one, man, I think it's a group chat that we kind of brought together. Number one, obviously the joke, you know, being on each other, but, you know, more so to uplift each other, send positive reinforcement, you know, faith-based. Everything, man. So I think that this is, you know, we out here in LA kicking it, having a good time, but, you know, also working and fellowshipping at the same time. So for all you guys watching on YouTube, make sure you guys are liking this podcast, subscribing to this podcast, telling a friend to tell a friend, because it goes a long way. We're going to have a bunch of wonderful conversations. I think you guys are going to enjoy, but like I said, make sure you guys are subscribing because, yeah, you know what I'm saying? We need this to get out there. But without further ado, man, like I said, it's the shop, you know what I'm saying? So before we kind of get into the nitty gritty, man, how do we meet? You know what I'm saying? I guess I'll jump it off first. Obviously, this is my little bro right here, you know what I'm saying? So we've been locked in since 96, you know what I'm saying? Locked in since 96, you know what I'm saying? But the first person I met out of the shop was my good brother Trey. Zeta Chapter, you know, kind of brought us together. Shout out to the fraternity. You know what I'm saying? A-Fi.
Yeah. I'm the only GDI in this barbershop chat, so I'll just throw that out there and I'll let y'all go ahead.
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying? That means I'm the most talented, by the way.
What does GDI stand for?
GDI stands for gosh darn individual.
I like how you didn't cuss.
He'd be on his own wave.
I like that. I met Trey first. You know, honestly, this was somebody who I looked up to a lot, you know what I'm saying, with somebody who was already in the chapter.
My son.
I'm trying to give him flowers. He tried to bid on me. But nah, man, he was somebody who I looked up to a lot, honestly. Somebody who was, you know, obviously playing basketball already at Yale. I was playing at Quinnipiac, and, you know, he was somebody who I kind of wanted to just, you know, model, I guess, after and pursuing alpha, playing basketball, and you know, we become like brothers. So this was the first person I met, and then you know, I met the other two hooligans a little later. So
I step in after that.
Yep.
I feel like first person I met, of course, my cousin, but we know each other. That's like my brother, for real. But first person I met was Trey as well. Like high school. Other than that, we stayed connected through college, stayed connected through like adulthood. You know what I'm saying? And that's how I kind of got tied in with everybody else around here. Met you in Cuba on a trip. Great trip. Top five trips, Cuba, if you ain't been, go to Cuba.
Shout out Havana.
Me and Tank were not invited to Cuba. I just want to put that out there.
Couple trip.
Like, couple trip.
Yeah, Love is Blind type trip.
We didn't make the cut. we didn't make the cut back then, so, yeah.
Then Puerto Rico. Yeah. We had another trip. Trey didn't go.
I didn't get invited.
No. You was too cool to go to Puerto Rico with us.
Motion, man.
Trey had too much motion.
Yeah, way too much motion. So then I met Ace. Puerto Rico, Ace met Tank, right?
In Puerto Rico.
So, I feel like everybody connected, like, real organically, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Which is crazy, because, like, I met Trey through Derek. So this is when, like, I was, like, 10 years old. Yeah, super J. Like, y'all was running around AAU, hooping, whatever. I did, like he said, I met Ace in Puerto Rico. It's crazy, because, like, me and Drew do What's In Your Bag, like, all facts, everything.
Yes, sir.
And this is me and Drew's first time, like, ever meeting in person. I thought Drew was, like, a robot. Like, I really thought he was just, like, I really just thought he was Ace, just, like, messing around, type, you know, on some flip, on some
with the wig.
Cosplaying as Drew.
But, yeah, so that was my way of meeting everybody.
And that leaves y'all two. Like Drew said, play at Quinnipiac. I ain't pledged. I wasn't with none of the fraternity stuff. I respect all my fraternity brothers.
Wow.
We got four Greeks over here talking about
all the fraternity brothers.
Right. I wasn't with it though. You know what I'm saying? But like I said, Drew and Trey, I was in the same frat, so we would be at the same places a lot of the time. We went to one of Trey's games that year y'all were playing. I think it was Princeton senior year. That thing was rocking. I remember that game.
Me and Trey connected.
Yeah, Cranked on
somebody
that game. Yeah,
Cranked on somebody.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
We gotta get the clip.
But yeah, met Trey through Drew at Quinnipiac, and then met Scotty. He came to DC for New Year's.
Bad news.
Wifey trip back at the time. I was single, as you can tell. I'm not single anymore, but back then I was single. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, clap for him. He wouldn't make that so bad.
But back then I wasn't invited to the couple things. I was fifth wheeling in DC. Scotty was there, Drew was there. You know what I'm saying? Both of these dudes was dead weight. DOA. And then met Tank in Puerto Rico.
Great trip, elite trip
for sure. And then we had to kick all the women out of the chat and make our own barbershop chat for the fellas. You know what I'm saying? And that's where this came from. You know what I'm saying?
We didn't kick them out.
We created our own chat, just the fellas. It's innovation. We could uplift, bid, talk about how the DMV got the best athletes in the world.
For sure.
And go from there. You know what I'm saying?
The crazy thing is, I got kicked out of the Puerto Rico chat. Let's talk about that for a second.
I'm guilty. I'm sorry.
I got booted from the Puerto Rico chat. And I'm the reason why the chat even kind of came together.
That's facts.
After graduation, we went to Cuba. And I don't know. I just love bringing people together. I felt like I have a good judge of who can mesh and who can get along before they're even in the same room.
Facts.
So the Cuba trip was great vibes. And, yeah, it really just stemmed from there. I was actually, you know what's really crazy is I think I had either just tore my Achilles in Denmark when I was playing, or it was like right before. But that's when I got added back to the barbershop chat. And it was just a huge like beacon of light, because shoot, I was in an apartment, no light in, hurt, couldn't walk around, and y'all was just real positive. Good vibes, good jokes, good roasts, all that. So yeah, it was really dope to see.
I couldn't have been in this chat. Like, this must have been like pre-barbershop chat.
It wasn't named the barbershop at this time.
Yeah.
Someone said it though.
I started the shop, and then I don't know who was in it at first, but it was just I know
for sure.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you was in
it. I don't think he was in it because it wasn't.
We added him.
Oh, so it was us 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah, gonna be.
You got added. Then Daylo got added.
Did
then
you?
2-5
got
added. 2-5-2 Shout out to our fallen brother, 2-5-2, man. We got a ghost member in the chat. Look.
Is 2-5
the
blue team of DC with?
Yeah. So,
okay.
All right. So 2-5. All right. We got a mysterious man in the chat. That's not really mysterious. Hey, shout out my boy Theo. Shout out my LV, my trade. Theo. Yeah, man, Theo is a real person. Like, not like Drew. Drew is. Not real.
I'm AI.
Hey, AI Drew.
Theo just hates us.
Yeah, Theo just he just to himself.
Shout out
to the bros though. The real bros.
He just waiting for us to say something so he can blackmail us.
He probably already has that.
Nah, but definitely shout out to Daylo and DQ, you know what I'm saying? I know y'all are tuning in to this for sure, but I think you said something that was super important and super valuable that I think will kind of lead us into the next topic, but you mentioned the barbershop, man. You said good bids, you know, good roasts, you know, uplifting each other. You know what I'm saying? I think that's something that in today's society is super important and doesn't happen a lot. You know, I think one thing is that we can't take this for granted. You know, we might feel like us all being in our early to mid-20s and being able to come together and fellowship and support each other is just commonplace, you know what I'm saying? But if not, a lot of people kind of, they don't have a circle, they don't have a community of brothers who are kind of, you know, sending that positivity. You know, I can't think of how many times we've been in the chat, you know, 80% of the sermon or a Bible verse or, you know, something like that just might change somebody's whole day around, you know? So I want to ask you guys, man, I'll just throw out there and somebody can jump in, but what do you think is the biggest struggle, you know, for people our age and finding brotherhood and finding community and being able to kind of keep it together? Because you see so many people, friendships come and go. What do you think is the biggest struggle, you know, with that?
Dudes be too cool. I'll go ahead and say it. We be too cool all the time. Like, don't nobody want to introduce themselves and be the lame that's trying to make friends. Like, we embarrassed of just trying to start something. So that's what I think it is, for real.
I think some people, like, they got an ego, so it's like, oh, like, I don't need you. Or like everybody kind of sees friendships as transactional. Like, what can you do for me? You can do nothing for me, that I ain't going to do nothing for you. And if I find this person can't do anything for me, then there's no point in me connecting with that person. When you don't know what that person has to offer you, whether it be spiritually, emotionally, mentally, whatever, you know what I'm saying? And so I think we kind of cut off the relationships before they even get a chance to blossom at times, because we're so caught up in our own worries and our own job, our own struggles, our own stresses, that we don't really even begin to look for other people that actually could maybe help us. You know what I'm saying?
I feel like it's sectioned off too. Like, nowadays, I feel like you have your people you go out with. You have your people you like look to for like positive feedback, influence, stuff like that. You have your people that you like do different things with. So like, it's very so often that you find people that you can kind of put all of those together and have your own niche with, and like go out, have fun with them, have a good time, hit church, or like pray together, or like positive feedback and uplift each other and do different things like that. So one of the biggest things for, I feel like, from my circumstance, is just like finding people who are in a similar niche as you. You know what I'm saying? Like, you trying to fit in with a certain crowd, and that crowd may not be for you, but like sometimes you feel like that's the only crowd available. And I feel like a lot of people squeeze themselves into situations where like they're not really supposed to be,
right?
But if they're not in that situation, they're gonna be by themselves, so they just try to fit in wherever, and that leads to a lot of like fake friendships and different things like that. So
I think like when we talk about our like friendship, I guess I sort of look at it from two terms, like space and grace. That's how I really like identify with the things that we have curated here. I think it comes from one, like, this is more so once we get to the actual, like, we have established a friendship. Well, I think we created a space like where everybody can be transparent.
Right.
Like, it is nothing for one of us to come into the chat, and like nobody could be saying anything in the chat, and somebody could just be like, "Yo, this is going on in my life, da 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 da." Like, can I have feedback on this? Like, here it is. And sometimes it's not a thing like feedback. Sometimes it's like it could be really something like minuscule. It can be something stupid, but just having that space where you can do that. And I think we also give each other like a lot of grace to like find different avenues in our life that we want to work on, or like, we know, like, if the other person is going through something, like, to give them grace to sort of align themselves and, like, to help them and to help align themselves. So 100%. I just think it's, like, a beautiful space, like, we've curated.
Yeah. Something that you said that I thought was super important was, you know, a lot of times people have their friends in categories. Like, you might have your go-out friends, you got your work friends, you got your... And I think that even right now in this space, as we're sitting here, right, we all came to L.A. to kick it and vibe, right, but... You know, everybody's working, like Trey's hopping on calls at 5:30 in the morning. My man plugged in at the ESPN LA. Like, we're here on this podcast, you know, networking and talking about, you know, these things. And it's like, I think we're that for everybody. Like, y'all my work friends, y'all my turn up friends, like, y'all my church friends.
All tree.
Nah, for real. Like, we about to hit church tomorrow, you know what I'm saying? And go and do our thing. I think that's important. And I think that's something that a lot of people, you know, will benefit from. You know, the rad is, like you got, like you said, it's like, oh no, you said it, man. Everybody's always trying to be too cool. You know what I'm saying? And I think that, I guess the question to me is like, or the question for you guys is like, what do you think as I guess as men, or as, you know, people in our age group, can do to kind of, I guess end that stigma, man. Like, you don't gotta be too cool, bro. It's nothing cool in being alone. It's nothing cool in being a loner. You know what I'm saying? Like, at the end of the day, you always gotta have somebody to lean on and fellowship on. So, like, what do you think we can do to kind of, I guess, put an end to that whole narrative?
Cut the pride. Everybody's so prideful.
Nowadays. Easier said than done.
Yeah, I know. You asked the question, you know, but you gotta cut the pride. I feel like everybody, like you said, like, people don't want to be lame, or I feel like nowadays with digital footprints and everything else, like you make one bad move, you feel like you could be down bad for good. You know what I'm saying? One bad, if you look stupid in front of somebody, they're going to go tell this person or that. You know what I'm saying? You can never recover from stuff like that. So
I think you gotta have a genuine interest in other people's lives. Like, we get caught up about how we're doing, but the ability to just say, yo, what do you need to get to that point? Or how are you feeling today? Check-ins, just keeping tabs on like the things that matter to other people. That's when you realize someone like isn't transactional with you.
Right.
They don't care about getting something. They just have an investment in you as a person with no return.
Right. Yeah. Taking yourself out of it.
Right. All right, so we're going to do a quick round table. I'm putting y'all on the spot. We need to talk about this before the show. Everybody's going to go around and give me y'all favorite moment from the barbershop. Whether it was a funny moment, uplifting moment, whatever. So we're going to just go ahead and round table like this.
Somebody else started on, can't start off.
Nah, we're going with Trey.
You started off. How about that?
Me?
Yeah, you got the question you've been thinking on. Go ahead, so start us off. Answer. Yeah, yeah, you got the answer.
Man, my favorite barbershop moment. I think we had so many long-winded paragraph essays. Asian the king of paragraphs, first of all.
Then we had to implement the 1 minute voice memo rule.
That rule was never applied though.
Yo, y'all was sending Rod Wave songs in the chat. It jumped like 240.
Man, I think my favorite barbershop moment was probably, I think it was one of our many relationship talks. That's a topic we get to a lot. But I think, you know, I can't remember what the exact discussion was, but I remember, you know, Ace had sent the sermon from Union Church on Relationship Goals, the series from last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And you literally sent that in the chat. And I was like, man, like, I think one thing that I just was taken aback by that more so was that it wasn't just like, oh, like, you know, you send in, you know, a text or whatever. It was like, you're like, here's something that you're going through in your life, and here's something that has helped me, you know, get through it. And here's an actual, like, whole relationship series, like 5 or 6 videos that you can actually go and apply in real time. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't like, oh, damn, bro, like, you're going to be all right, hold your head up, which is cool every once in a while. But it was like, nah, like, these words spoke to me. And literally, it's crazy because I watched that sermon, bro. Like, and that was my first time seeing it. I was in Portugal last year, going through a breakup, and I watched it. And I was like, yo, like, it really blessed me. You know what I'm saying? So for me, to be able to actually have that come from the barbershop and something that actually was therapeutic for me, that was my favorite moment for sure.
Real sessions. Definitely the real sessions. It don't matter if we roasting each other, if we roasting something, somebody, like, for me, I just be needing a good laugh.
Oh, wait, hold on. The white Air Force
One. Oh! Yo, we can't. We can't.
It's crazy.
Nah, hey, you gotta blur that out.
Yo!
I didn't think he was going. It's somebody out there that's wearing some forces that they should have retired 4 years ago. Look.
And you can go back and look at the timestamps on the IG. And it's the same forces, same creases, same spots. Not that I was watching too hard, but
and they lay super tight,
super duper tight, squeezing his foot, telling blood pressure.
This is a lesson for all of y'all, man. Listen, you got a few months to wear them forces around, and you got to get a new pair, bro.
Three wears, bro.
Three wears.
What? You get money, huh?
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Well, I had my forces for about 2 years.
Three wears,
huh?
To get fresh.
They beaters.
No, but what I'm saying is, like, if you get fresh in them, three wears, bro.
Yeah,
like,
and what do you do after the third wear?
Right.
They're like regular wear. You know what I'm saying? They're not your beaters, but they're like, oh, I'm going to get some food, but I'm not going to be seen by nobody. But I got, like, you know what I'm saying, a regular fit on. You can't throw it on like I'm stepping out.
You need crep protect or something, my boy.
Your shoes don't be getting dirty like that. Like
the white. I ain't gonna lie, I didn't have one pair of white ones. I wore them like 4 times and then after that it was like...
You haven't worn them again, right? Yeah. Or like, you'd be chilling on them like sweatpants, you know what I'm saying?
They overrated to me.
Yeah. Like, so
that's another conversation.
It's a bad deed going out in the dirty whites.
All right, hold on. So let's get back to favorite chat moments.
A character.
my favorite text in the barbershop, because I remember this clear as day. I seen this text, I said, I gotta add this to my notes so I never forget it. It was a day that TJ said, we're going to take over the whole Western Hemisphere.
I know that conversation.
He said, I think he had just got a cut. So, you know, when you get a cut, you feel in top five.
Top five. You get a good, and, like, you feel like the razor on it, you top three, though.
I don't like the white.
The beard's
ugly. Hey, listen. You can't shower if you put it on. Once you shower, that thing gone.
You got to go right
from the barbershop to the function because you watch your face cook for that
thing. You got 24 hours with the good Beijing cut. You look sweet, though, for 24 hours. Yeah,
first 24 hours. That's when you got to get the barber to post you. If you get
the
Beijing, it's
crazy.
Followers going crazy.
Okay. Favorite moments? I don't got a favorite moment, bro. I just love, every time that we can, like, go in there and just kind of, like, come, like, vulnerable with something we're dealing with, something we're struggling with, and just get, like, encouragement, like, get grace. Like, and I think we put so much pressure on ourselves to show up perfect in a lot of spaces. Mm. So having a space where you don't have to come perfect, you know what I'm saying, where you can come and you can be vulnerable and you can get encouragement and you can get, like...
Why are you laughing?
You know, and you can get encouragement, you can get prayer, whatever you might need, like... In that moment, I think it's a great space to have people that you can laugh with and build with and get encouragement at the same time in the same space. So I love any time that we can kind of uplift each other in that way for sure.
My favorite moment, it's hard to like put a favorite moment. I really like the fact that we're all out in LA right now. Like if y'all don't know the chat, but like everybody is so busy in the chat, man. It's almost impossible to get like three of us in the same spot.
It worked out so crazy how it all happened so quick, bro. So crazy, but we made it work.
So like, this is almost impossible. And then like, just like last night, my first night in LA, so like all of us being together was a great night, great vibes. The Western Hemisphere joint is top five. Mm-hmm. I think like for me, it's just a whole situation of, I grew up in like a family that was like so female strong, like I had like so many women like in my life. And I didn't really have like a lot of like, I had male figures in my life, but it's hard when you don't have male figures who are relatively in your age,
right?
So like I've always leaned like closer to Derek and his brothers, but it doesn't help when they're 6 hours away or like they move and they're still 4 hours away, right? So just being able to have that sense of community of guys like who let you come in and be vulnerable and everybody else is also vulnerable, I think it's just a precious space that I don't want to ever take for granted.
And TJ really the luckiest one in the chat because he gets to learn from like us now. How old are you?
I'm 22.
Yeah,
he's the youngest member of the shop.
Yeah.
Bro was born in the 2000s.
Aye.
That's crazy.
For real?
Whoa, 2000s.
Whoa, hold on. Hold on.
You didn't know that?
No. Yeah, I didn't know about it. Wow.
2000 is crazy.
I be forgetting you 22, flat. Bro. You be like, I never moved. It never grabs in my head.
Bro, Adam is older than him.
That's nasty.
You lying.
Adam is older than him.
December 2nd, 2000.
Wow. My little brother is older than you, bro.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Man.
That's good bars.
That's great bars, man. I think something that you said a little bit earlier was talking about just how, like, in today's age of social media, right, like, everybody's, you know, somebody makes a mistake and boom, you kind of got to deal with it, you know, in front of the whole world. And we're seeing right now, like, the whole situation with Mikey Williams, the whole John Morant situation. Like, and you mentioned just now, right, Tank being able to kind of learn and be 22 and learn from us, who all 26, going on 27 soon. But like, I think the luxury of, I guess, having a space like this, man, is like, one, holding each other accountable. But I guess my question for you guys is, how can guys that are coming into fame or coming into money, right? Like we are, you know, like I said, 27, but I'm hoping Jimbo go to the moon this year and, you know, you touching some racks and everybody, you get a Grammy next year. You know what I'm saying? Big facts. You want, I can wish that for everybody. He's going to be GM at the Clippers soon. You know what I'm saying? Or he might come home to Quinnipiac and coach the Bobcats. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, we're going to see. But I think one thing is like, man, I see these stories, man. I'm like, damn, bro. Like, you know, where are the OGs or where are the friends? Where are the whatever that can help these guys, man? So I think my question for the shop, man, is like, yo, like, what do you think we can do, or not us specifically, but our generation can do, man, to kind of avoid these type of situations, man? I feel like everybody's having this identity crisis. Why are you trying to be something you're not, or trying to uphold this image? Like, how can we kind of just be comfortable, more comfortable in our skin, you know, so we can avoid these type of situations where guys is crashing out at 22, 23 years old, or Mikey, he's 19, right? Like, yeah. You know, what do we think?
I think the first thing, it's easier said than done for some people, because I think when you grow up, like all these people do in environments where you have people around you that have certain ulterior motives, you know what I'm saying, where they're trying to make sure that they, you know, eating off you, whatever that might be, it's definitely a lot harder. But I think we have to, I think it was Nick Saban said this, because obviously after the whole Brandon Miller situation that happened, that Alabama, that whole situation, like, we have to be in control of where we are, what we're doing, who's around us. Like, there can't be any, like, oh, he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. At the end of the day, like, you choose who you hang around, you choose where you go, you choose the people who you surround yourself with at the end of the day. So, like, you have to be proactive, so you're not being reactive at the end of the day. So, like, if I'm a person that has money, and I know that if I have people around me that are, I'm not going to say crash dummies, but the crash dummy type timing.
Define a crash dummy for people that don't.
People that have nothing to lose. So, like, if you have nothing to lose, well, I can't have you around me because I have something to lose. It's so if you got nothing to lose.
You can lose your hairline tomorrow.
If I lose my hairline, kick me out the chat. Okay.
What's wrong with the ball?
You got to embrace the body. Don't have to half blend. That's bad ball. Half blend is bad ball. You got to go full ball or full Beijing.
Give me a word. I'm going to lose this camera. Chat. I'm gonna have these dreads until they back here. No, I'm gonna have that. Goodness. Y'all gonna, you feel me? I'm never cutting my dreads.
I won't allow it.
I be Stevie Wonder with the hat on my jokes if I cut my dreads off.
Like, no, I know that now. You definitely are stepping down from all facts when you get it.
For sure.
You're not letting you on camera with that.
I'm gonna have the hat on. We're gonna be cool. Yeah, we cut my boy off from the gems he was spinning.
Nah, but I feel like you have to, like I said, if you had nothing to lose, you can't be around me, like, because at the end of the day, like, if we go out or if we're in a position where in a snap of a finger, your whole life could change. You know what I'm saying? Where it's, you know what I'm saying? People out here don't think, like, even guns get involved. Everybody out here got a gun nowadays. Like, so I think just being able to remove yourself from a situation proactively, like, don't go there. Don't have them people around you. Like, if you can't have a good time, if you out drinking, don't drink. Go out sober. Whatever it might be, like, just be proactive in preventing that stuff from even happening. Because at the end of the day, like, people, these athletes, they make too much money to be wrong place, wrong time, to be in the type of situation. So preventing yourself from even getting in the situation in the first place is what I would say, first and foremost.
I think an important thing to hit off of that is, like, you brought up people who don't have anything to lose. And I think sometimes, like, we're in a world where we sort of have this idea of, like, if this person is not, quote, on the same level as me, like, then they're not valuable to me.
Yeah.
I think, like, sometimes we have to realize, like, you're going to be friends, or you're going to be in a situation with people who may not be, like, on the same career status as you,
yeah,
or, like, maybe in the same financial situation as you. And I think it's a thing of, like, it's okay to have those people around if you feel like they bring you value. Yeah. I think it's one thing to they bring you value and versus they don't bring you value.
Yeah.
And I do think it's a thing of, like, even if this person has nothing but this person I have a friend with, they should care enough about me, not even themselves, that they wouldn't do these things around me.
So I think I wasn't even talking about the career aspect. You got a mother, you got a son, a daughter, you got kids, you got something to lose.
Anything to lose.
But some people out here just like, oh, mindless. Like, I'm not saying, like, if you got a six-figure job, you got something to lose. No, if you got a kid, if you got a mother that cares about you, you got a brother that cares about you.
You got a life.
You got something to lose. General. We all have something to lose. So, like, people that are out here moving, like, they just, you can't be around me. I don't want to cut you off, but that was good.
Finding people that respect that boundary is really important as well. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of the times when your life changes certain ways and you find new things, not find new things, but you attain new things to lose, a lot of people don't respect that boundary. You know what I'm saying? Right. I'll use my example. Like, I got kids, so I have to move a lot differently than a lot of the times how I used to move before I got kids and before I had a wife and stuff like that. So, like, sometimes people won't understand that, and they'll kind of isolate themselves off of that. But if you find people around you and you can reflect on the people around you and they all embrace that with you and try to make your situation more efficient, it's a good bump. But, like, if not, you know what I'm saying, that might be a situation that you either have to communicate with that person. If you communicate, they still don't understand, you got to, it's wraps. Like, you just got to love them from a distance type of vibe, you know what I'm saying? So
set boundaries and have people around you that respect your boundaries.
Yep.
I gotta ask you a question though. So you mentioned just now, like, married, got two beautiful kids.
Appreciate that.
So for you, right, but you're also rapping, right? And the culture of rap and music is not very family oriented, if you will, right? You rapping about whatever you're rapping about, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying you particularly, but the industry, right? How have you been able to stay true to yourself and, like, who you are? And, like, the fact that you do have a family and kids that, shoot, they're going to be hearing your music in a couple of years. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, but still, at the same time, trying to level up in the industry, right? Because at the end of the day, there are certain markers you have to hit in order to, you know, go viral or get picked up by a label, right? So how have you been able to navigate that, you know, by having a family in your situation?
I'd be like, I don't try to be too hard on myself, honestly. Like, if I gave my 100% for the day, and, like, I'm, like, a perfectionist in my own mindset, so, like, I'm very hard on myself, and I'm very tough on that. I feel like that's something a lot of young artists, entrepreneurs, creators, different people struggle with. Like, we live in such a, like, a hustle culture that's, like, if I didn't win today, did I actually win? But if you gave it your 100%, you made a step forward to where you're trying to go, you know what I'm saying? I feel like a lot of people are like, I didn't do this today, I didn't get that done, or I didn't knock everything out on my list. But at the end of the day, if it's meant for you, what's meant for you is gonna come into fruition at all times, I feel like. So I don't try to, I used to stress myself out, like, oh, I didn't get this done, or oh, my song didn't do this many numbers, or different things like that. I just push and give it my all, and like, work hard, pray hard, get in the studio as much as I can. And then, like, when you said about, like, your kids listening to your music and stuff, one thing, the biggest thing that changed when I had kids versus, like, when I didn't have kids with music is, like, I can't let my kids see me fail. Like, I can't go out sad in front of my kids. Like, that's worse than anybody. Like, I know we was talking about bro getting knocked out in the street in front of his chick. That might be worse than that. Because, like, if your kids see you as a failure, that makes it okay to them to fail. You know what I'm saying?
I just wanted to ask, like, what is failure to y'all? That means something different to everybody. If we could go around and
quit, I think quitting is failure. And, like, not quitting in terms of, like, oh, I'm going to stop rapping. You know what I'm saying? But, like, not giving something your all. Two, not trying as hard as you can. So if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do my best at it. And then if other opportunities arise from that, then I'm going to, I feel like I should take those opportunities. But, like, I would hate for now for me to, like, just give up on rapping or to stop rapping or to get down on myself because I didn't get something that I thought. I saw in DDG's song that I was listening to, it's called The Summer. He was like, I want to be one of the greats, but I'm comparing myself to Drake. But, like, Drake, the biggest, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's doing a lot. He's making money. He has a career off of music.
Right.
So, you know what I'm saying? He won at the end of the day. But we live in a culture where you compare constantly comparing yourself to whoever's above you, or, like, because that's where you want to be. So, like, I feel like failure, all to wrap that all into one little thing, is failure is like quitting. Failure is selling yourself short of something that you know you can accomplish.
I think what I would say is kind of conversely almost to what you were saying. I think the way I think about it is, like, I think I want my kids to see me fail so that they can then see me get back up. Because that's, I feel right. Like if my kids see me fail and then they see me get back up, then they know that it's okay for them to fail and they can get back up from it. So that's, like, I want my kid to see me trick off some money and get it back. I want to not trick it off in a bad way. I want my son to see me get fired from a job and get another one. You know what I'm saying?
That's real.
So that he can say, okay, so when I get fired, I can bounce back. You know what I'm saying? Because I think so many people, they see their parents fail at something and they quit. And then it's like, okay, well, this is a habit now. You know, then you start, that's how cycles get built in families. And so I think it's important that we teach our kids that it's okay to fail.
It's a gym.
And it's okay for you to get back up. And every time you fail, on to the next, okay? Like, how can I redeem the situation, right? And how can I restore the situation, and what's next? So that's why I think I would kind of flip that, as opposed to saying, okay, as opposed to thinking don't fail, say, okay, once I do fail, what's next? How do I get back up from that?
It's put me on game, you know what I'm saying? Because that's something I struggle with, you know what I'm saying? Like, everything, like, I hold myself very, like, hard to that. Because especially with your kids, they watch everything you do, everything you say.
Yeah.
Kids be repeating stuff that you said last week. You know, like, where you hear that from? Right. But, like, they hear and listen and watch everything. So that's real game right there.
So let me ask a question. We're all athletes, right? The barbershop full of athletes. I'm sure when we were kids, we all had that vision of us in the league, NBA, NFL. Man. And to set that as the standard of success, I guess, can anybody speak to just, like, when they had to redefine that and pivot and redefine success based off of that failure? Because that's not even a failure, not making it there. I'm just curious how y'all.
Was that all y'all goals? Like, I played sports, and that was never my goal.
That was definitely a goal, bro. You know what I'm saying?
I never cared.
And I would say, like,
overseas guys could definitely speak on that.
Yeah, I would say now, like, even still playing overseas, like, honestly, just being honest, I'm still trying to, like, redefine that, bro. Because in my mind, I always tell myself, like, damn, like, I should be in the league, bro. It's crazy. And it's like,
by the way, dudes be 45.
Man.
Still saying man. That. Yeah.
It's crazy because I'm going to tell y'all a story. So I'm that pickup on Thursday. And it's a compliment, but it was kind of like, damn, right? So we playing pickup or whatever. And I'm frying. Like, I'm making I'm cooking, right? So buddy comes in the court, like, yo, bro, where you play at, bro? I'm like, oh, yeah, I play in Japan. He's like, damn, bro, like, you need a 10-day, bro. Like, you should be in the league, like, the way you shoot. I'm like, oh, thank you, bro. Like, you would think that's a compliment. But my mind, like, damn, like, feel me, my brother worked for the Clippers right now. I feel I should be in the league. You know what I'm saying? It makes you think, like, damn, did I not make it to my goal? You know what I'm saying? So I feel like I'm still trying to redefine that success and figure out, all right, like, how do you look at basketball in your career and be like, you know what, I defied the odds, or I you know, maxed out my potential. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, it's like, you know, the only thing you can measure yourself up to is, you know, did I maximize my potential? Like, at the end of the day, when I go to sleep at night, when I retire, when I put the basketball down one day, can I say I gave it my all? Like, I gave basketball everything that I had. And if I would have, something that you said too when we were talking, it was like, yo, if I would have spent 20 more hours in the gym or 100 more hours in the gym, like, would I have made it to my goal? It's like, nah, you feel me? It's like, if you could say you put everything into basketball or whatever your craft is, it's like, you could feel like you had a successful career or a successful life, man. So I feel like, to answer your question, I feel like I'm still trying to redefine that, bro. And like, all right, well, hopping into this podcast space, like, what does success in that space look like? You know, what does that active basketball space look like? You know, I think it's a constant evolving journey. You know, so I don't think you ever, even LeBron James, like, yeah, he's successful, but I feel like to him, there's still mountains he's trying to reach. There's still things he's trying to climb. I remember Kobe was like, when he, you know, retired, he was like, man, I want them to remember me more before I do my next chapter than what they did in my basketball career. It's like, Kobe, you were a 5-time champion, 20 years in the league, like, one of the best players ever played. Time, I want them to remember me for my act, for my, you know, when he won the Academy Award. It's like, yeah, I want them to remember me for this. It's like, bro, what? Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, so it's like, if you ask LeBron, do you think he would say he's successful? Probably.
He wants to be more.
But it's always more you can achieve. So
he already plotting to try to own that team. And, right. You know what I'm saying? So, like, yeah, I don't think the hustle never ends.
But I think it's just a thing of, like, we have people who are on the outside always have a different idea of what success looks like versus the man who's actually in the arena.
Right.
And I think that's just a thing of, too, of, like, when you really start to break down what you want your success to be, you sort of realize, like, it's not about the metrics. Because we like to use metrics. Like, we have to say numbers never lie. We like to take, like, we keep saying sports, but, like, we like to say LeBron and Jordan, like, compare the numbers and everything. But I think it's really just a thing of, like, what you really want your success to be, and then really, like, sort of knowing how to navigate that. No.
My fault.
No, go ahead.
You spark something crazy, because how people perceive you on the outside versus what you think you are right now and where you're working towards. And what I mean by that is, somebody told me, they were like, look, bro, whether you made it to the G or made it to a roster, you don't look any different to me. And I was like, whoa, that was a whole moment. I'm thinking they're going to perceive me a certain way because I'm on the roster.
Yeah.
And I was halfway there, and they still see me as, like, you made it.
Yeah.
So at that point, it's like, there's nothing left to do from other people's standards. So you got to just define it for yourself.
Yeah.
Nah. I think.
Go ahead. Now, I was going to say, kind of just building off that, I think as athletes, we put so much stock in our own head on, like, our value as how high I can get. So, okay, can I get to the league? Okay, can I become an all-star? Okay, can I do this? If I'm overseas, can I make it to EuroLeague? And we kind of define our value, like, as athletes based on, like, how high we get in that particular sport. And I think that's why you see so many athletes, when they're done playing, they have trouble, like, defining who they are, their identity, because their whole life, they define themselves as, I'm a basketball player, like, I'm an athlete. So then when that ends, like, okay, like, who am I?
What's next?
But I think what you guys were talking about kind of with LeBron and with Kobe is, like when you see successful people everywhere, it's the mindset. Like, those dudes, and anything, I don't care if you're a doctor, if you're a basketball player, a lawyer, like, that mindset of, like, what's next? How can I improve myself? Like, okay, well, what more can I do? Like, always trying to add more to your package, like, is how you really see success. You know what I'm saying? When you kind of switch that, when you turn that switch from okay, I'm an athlete, to, okay, like, now, I'm not an athlete anymore, but what's next?
Right.
You see guys starting podcasts and doing gym building, doing all these type of things where it's like, I'm not an athlete. Like, I play basketball, you know what I'm saying? But that's not who I am. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I think just always having that mindset of, okay, like, what's next, right? Like, how can I improve myself, whatever, is truly how you kind of flip that switch and turn to the next chapter of, okay, what's next in life? You know, you can kind of have a healthy state of mind, honestly, because it's taxing on your mental health. You kind of value yourself on, like, how high I can get in this sport that's only going to last. If you were Michael Jordan, you only plan to you 40, you know what I'm saying? You still got 50 more years of life after that. So
I think something like this very important to sort of bounce off of that is, like, also realizing what's very intimate to you and then learning, like, how to hold that close. And I think that also goes into, like, success and not looking at it from a career standpoint. Like, I think a lot of people look at sort of like the stance that I'm in now, or just where I'm in my career now, like being someone who's 22 and like at ESPN, or like being able to get ESPN as my like first job out of college. And like a lot of people look at that for me as success. Right. And then for me, I'm like people always ask me, and I'm like, it's cool. And like people are like, I think like it's sometimes it gives off the wrong energy, but like to me, it's the thing of like, I don't believe like I have truly been successful yet, because in my mind, I'm working on like all the personal things that I feel like are really going to make me a better man. So to me, like that's more success. I think I'm like, I'm doing strong in my career, but like long term, like I'm not even looking maybe to even stay in this space this long. Right. It's just more so a thing of like, to me, being successful is like when I get up today, and like yesterday I didn't make my bed, but today I made my bed. Mm-hmm. So now I'm building like all of these stronger habits that I really want, that are really making me a man. And I feel like those are the things that are really making me successful.
So bed sleep better when it's made, I'm not going to lie to you. 100%.
I make my bed, just cook for that.
This guy.
I got a question though, because I want to ask everybody, because again, like, you know, Tank is at ESPN, you know, Trey's in the tech startup space and content creation, you know, corporate America and rapping, you in NBA front office, right?
Corporate America and rap.
That's crazy, right?
Double life.
But I want to ask y'all, right? So we, like we mentioned, man, we all play basketball, right? And then, you know, we were talking about this the other day, Trey. It's like, when you're an athlete, you know what a good day looks like. I woke up in the morning, I lifted, right?
Facts.
Then I went to the gym and I shot 200 shots, right? Then I came home and I got my treatment, my rehab, and I stretched, and I'm out to watch film, right? You can go to sleep knowing, bet, I had a great day. I'm stacking the days together, right? So I want to ask everybody, because we're all in different spaces, right? Like, what does a successful day look like to you, right?
Hey, I'm gonna go last. Y'all go.
All right, so I'll start with Derek, and we'll work it this way.
That's something I struggle with heavy. Mm. After I finished like playing sports, yeah. I couldn't figure out, like, because like you said, you make yourself, it's happy. You're happy when you get all of those things done for your day. You felt like you got better.
Right.
But when after that, I was like, all right, I went to work, came home, rolled up, had it chilled out, kicked it. You know what I'm saying? So like, that was something I really struggled with. But for me now, I feel like a good day, I still have to, I learned to build that regimen up again. Like, wake up, I want to work out at some point in the day. So I prefer to do it early. So I'm going to try to work out at some point early in the day. Take my kids to their daycare, sitter, or like some similar situation like that. I want to be able to knock at least three to four tasks in my job. So like, if that's just corporate things, I ain't going to go too deep into what I do and whatever, but like, consulting with different people, right, having calls, knocking all those different things out. With music, I try not to put too much pressure on myself because it's a creative space. So like, one thing I used to do was, I used to be like, oh, I gotta write a song a day, I gotta grind, I gotta hustle. But like, I make way better music when I just let it flow. Like when I just have 30 minutes and I'm able to like just chill, or like when I have a free night, I'm like, I'm about to just go to the studio and just get some time. So I think still having a regimen in my day where I can work out, do something for my health, do something for my brain, do something for my spirit. Like, I'm real big on like mental, physical, spiritual health. If you knock those three things out, if you add to that and you have a good meal, yeah, that's a good day.
I think for me, a good day is control what I can control. Because I feel like people get so caught up in the outcome and the result. But for me, like, it always has to be process over product. Like, at the end of the day, if I'm building habits every day that are getting me towards where I want to go, then that's all you can do. Like, I can't control, you know, how you perceive me. For me, like, I'm an intern right now with the Clippers, so like my whole thing is, obviously the end goal is to get hired. But I'm not gonna get hired tomorrow. I'm not gonna get hired the next day. Only thing I can do every day is control what I can control. Get up the same time every day. Be on time. Be on the court. I'm supposed to be on the court and control what I can control. And if I wake up every day and control what I can control, and the process is the same every day, then I hope that at the end of the year I will have stacked enough good days that the product at the end of it will be beautiful. You know what I'm saying? And if I can say that every day I control what I can control, I can live with the result. So for me, that's what a good day is, building habits.
Are you not going?
Oh, I mean, I guess I feel like I was going to let y'all, you know, parlay it, but I feel like for me, basketball is kind of simple. So I'll do like content creating or, you know, podcasting. I feel like for me, a good day is being able to like edit and get out a social clip, number one, like whether that's Instagram, TikTok. It's hard, man, being able to go to, like, you know, playing basketball, bro, going to practice, trying to get meals in, coming in and out, then I gotta come home and edit a clip, you know what I'm saying? Like, and mind you, I'm doing Twitter, Instagram, YouTube Shorts, TikTok, like, that takes a lot of time, you know what I'm saying? So, if I can just come home, go to practice, get a lift in, and be able to get a video out in a day, I'm cool. You know what I'm saying? That's a good day for me. I feel like I don't, you know, we don't have a bunch of staff running it or like all these money where I can hire a bunch of people. So it's like everything's kind of on me to kind of make sure. And obviously Tank and Alexis and Keith and Connor, the whole team. But like, it's hard, man, trying to be able to do that. So for me, I try not to be like, you know, again, like you said, I try to not put too much pressure on myself. It's like, yo, if I can get a video out, then that's a good day for me, yeah. Man. You know what I'm saying? I had practice. I leave it at that, you know?
I think something I realized, like, the more I get into my career and more I'm developing to, like, being a professional is realizing just how many good days are days where I don't do shit. And we don't, like, we live in this culture, like, everything is like, oh, grind, hustle. Like, oh, yeah, like, all of a sudden, like, 4 hours last night, like, I was working all day. I'm like, yeah, that's cool, but, like, I'm a person who big on, like, yo, I'm gonna get my 8 hours. Because, for one, like, when you get your 8 hours, you're more productive, your ideas are better, everything is better. Like, I'm gonna do everything I can to try to get my 8 hours.
Need them 8 hours.
I need my eight. But to me,
I must love 8 hours, bro.
Right. Well, you.
Yeah, crazy.
I just think it's a thing of, like, people look at the whole 8 hour thing, like, it's crazy. Like, what are you talking about? But it's more so a thing of, like, this is a good day to me because today I prioritized something that made me feel good. And I think, like, being productive is cool, but, like, I know there are some days where, like, it's okay for me to put this on the back burner for another day because I just had a chance to spend 12 hours with my friends, like, who I haven't seen in the break because we all been working, and we spent the whole day, like, laughing. Like, that was good for my soul. That was good for my energy. That was good for my health. So, like, it's definitely a balance. Like, sometimes you have a good day, and it's like, yo, I knocked out everything on the list, did extra work. But, like, just learning how to find a balance like that. Some days your good days look nothing like you sitting down and knocking out your whole agenda. Sometimes a good day is just you truly enjoying the day. So, just finding the balance.
Yeah. Man. I think one reason why it's so hard to transition from sports to post-sports life is because with sports, we have a goal, like a very clear goal. Every single athlete, their goal is to win a championship, period. At the end of the season, coming first, whatever that looks like. Then you get rid of that, and it's like, all right, I have to define what that goal even is and work back from there. So if it's win a championship, you got to have 100 practices, 80 lifts, like 80 team meetings, whatever it is. But if you flip over and don't have that, it's 10 times harder. And I guess that's one thing we're doing right now with my sports tech startup. Y'all know what it is. But we have to have a sales goal or a growth goal and then say, what are the things we're doing? Whether or not we sell, we show up and do every day. So whether it's marketing, is we're posting content. If it's sales, we're sending a message. Or whether it's a partnerships meeting or whatever, just trying to like further support that revenue goal, that growth goal. And yeah, I think that's something that's just hard to do unless you have somebody that's kind of been there before and understands, like, it's hard. It's hard to just transition and expect to just hit the ground running. Right. So you got to have somebody that can kind of sit you down and really say, yo, what are you trying to do? All right, here's how you accomplished it. I remember when I was there, this is what you should do, yeah. Basically. So yeah, find, I guess the last piece of that is just finding a mentor that you want to get like and just say, yo, how do I get like you?
Yeah.
And not being too cool to ask to put yourself out there and surrounding yourself with people that are further ahead in life, whatever career goal it is or life goal, and just taking it a day at a time, like all of y'all said.
I got a gem that I want to drop right there. If you can hate on somebody, it's 100% chance that you could take something from them. Anybody that you could hate on, you could take something from them. Instead of hating on them, you know what I'm saying? Like, being real negative, you could probably take one thing from them, that person, and add it to your lifestyle. Because
that hate is really just envy anyway. You just envy for something that they're doing for real the whole time. So.
I took something out of KD's bag. I'm going to use it on y'all tomorrow. You know what I'm saying?
Might get spooky. So. Bucket. On that same note, man.
Yeah, on that same note, let's talk about it. Hey, what you about to say?
Let's talk about it. If you think about it, you know, DMV clearly has the best hoopers in the world.
And they dug this weekend.
And I think with that being said, we got three Secession. North Carolina residents on this podcast.
The Hoop State. What do they call North Carolina? The Hoop State.
I don't know.
It's called the Hoop State.
It's called North Carolina.
The Hoop State.
North Carolina.
If you go on any website and type in the Hoop State,
yeah, well, y'all seen Showtime. PG County, Basketball County, in the water. It's in the water.
Y'all from PG?
It's in the water.
Y'all from PG?
I'm from Montgomery County. MoCo.
So why are we talking about PG?
Same thing. DMV,
no, no,
PG,
no, same thing.
MoCo.
African, Asian, not the same thing.
So pick one county in Carolina if you're going to do that.
Mecklenburg. Mecklenburg is way better.
What is Mecklenburg? In PG County? Y'all ever heard of Mecklenburg before?
Y'all are not from PG.
Where are you from?
Charlotte.
Are you from Mecklenburg?
Yes, I'm from Mecklenburg County. I'm born in New Jersey. I live in Mecklenburg County.
You ain't even from North Carolina. He from Jersey. He's talking about some North Carolina. He's set tripping.
He's set tripping.
Didn't you live out here?
At fourth grade, I wasn't born here. I wasn't born here.
From Sacktown.
I wasn't born here.
I say where you're from is where most of your experiences are from. I was 11 when I moved down to North Carolina. So like
11? You was a Wait, you spent 11 years in Jersey?
Yes, and I spent
20 years. And you stayed in North Carolina?
Okay,
yeah.
And I'm 26, right?
I never knew this.
15 years in North Carolina.
Yo, Trey. Trey, bro, I never knew this.
15 years in North Carolina, 11 in New Jersey.
Trey,
hold on. 11, 0 to 11.
So everybody knows your fundamental years, them young years.
0 to 11?
So when you were from 0 to 11 and got voted.
My third grade bowling party has more life experience.
Your fundamental year was in Jersey.
Middle school and high school.
You from Jersey.
No, your fundamental years are middle school and high school.
Jersey, bro.
My number is 908, you know this.
What?
My number is 908, you know this. But
you from Jersey?
Majority of my life, my experiences are in North Carolina.
I can't believe this, dude. I never knew this. I never knew bro was from Jersey for 11 years. I swear to God, I never knew.
I knew he was born there. I know he was
my
like
number is Jersey.
11 year resident. Yeah. That's crazy.
Look at that list of number, 11, bro.
0 through 11?
11 year resident.
0 through 11?
You can't claim North Carolina for 11 year resident.
11 years of Jersey.
That's 11 years? 11 years?
You were born
here.
You were born here.
Middle school, high school, college, your developmental years.
Nah. I didn't go away for college.
He was born there and lived there for 11 years. I see if he like. Moved around.
Okay, bro, it would be different if I went away for college and then I moved after college to somewhere. I moved to North Carolina from 0 to 11, right? Moved to North Carolina. Went to school, middle school, high school, college, post-grad.
Wow.
All in North Carolina. All in the same city.
You from Jersey, bro. I don't care.
Let's get back on topic, though. North Carolina don't got nobody like the Durantula.
Steph Curry.
35.
Steph Curry.
KD had to call it.
Like I said,
KD had to call it.
Like I said, how many rings does Steph have?
Listen, it don't matter.
He got two
rings. Better than KD.
How many rings does Steph have?
He better than KD.
No, how many does he have in total?
Yeah. Hold on, no. Steph has
four rings. He has four. How many does KD have?
KD, give him two rings.
Let's move on to how many MVPs does Steph have?
Hold up.
How many MVPs does KD have?
Let's get into it. Steph couldn't beat Big Daddy Bron, so he called up KD.
Big Daddy,
like, to
freak.
Wait,
hold on. LeBron was whooping them boys 3-1. He said, yo, KD, big bro.
Y'all acting like LeBron is from MoCo, though.
I need your help, big bro.
LeBron is not from MoCo, so why are we talking about LeBron right now? We're talking about North Carolina. We're talking about
your king couldn't beat Bron, so he called up the GOAT. KD.
And who called up
the Durant, so he said, yo, I need help.
Who had KD beat? He lost LeBron, too, right?
He was a baby. He was 21.
He was 21.
Yeah, he was strong too. Steph Curry is not better than Kevin Durant.
KD is a career number two, man. Got drafted number two.
Oh wow.
With number two overall, national top 100. That's how the DMV boys beat every number two.
Wow.
They finished second place.
All right. Who got the best food? New York? Or, I mean, my fault. Or, I should ask you about Jersey for Jersey, North Carolina, or DMV. Who got the best food?
Nah, he's doing you greedy in Jersey.
DMV. Are we talking about?
It's not a debate.
I just heard that Baltimore has better food from DC from this man right here. Baltimore's not DMV. So are we talking about Virginia?
Why is Baltimore not DMV?
Hold on. Let's do a drive real quick.
Why? All right.
DMV versus North Carolina. I want your top three picks.
Top three picks?
Anything. No hoopers, like anything.
Any category.
Let's do a draft. North Carolina versus DMV.
Okay.
Talk about what is the DMV first.
DC, Maryland, Virginia, but it's only the Metro line. If the Metro don't go to your city.
I ain't gonna cap Drew. For the sake of this argument, I'm including Baltimore.
It's a part of Maryland. Everybody in Maryland. It's Baltimore.
They have a whole state of North Carolina. So we should get the whole state of Maryland. And that don't even make sense.
Per capita is what we're talking about, honestly.
But if we're talking about the whole state of Carolina, we're doing the whole state of Maryland.
So you can't conclude Virginia then?
We can do Maryland versus North Carolina.
North Carolina? Oh, yeah. My goodness.
Give us the parameters for this draft. Is it like you said, any like in life? Like, it's not just basketball players.
Anything.
Kevin Durant.
Top three people.
Top three things, period.
Kevin Durant.
Wow. Michael Jordan.
Chase Young, I don't know if he has any attention.
No, he's not making the cut.
You know, he defensive player of the year, right? Or rookie of the year or something like that? Who's he?
Nah.
Is he team Commanders?
He was the rookie of the year.
He was rookie of the year, okay. He up there, though. I'm just throwing
my hold on, so we can name three things, and y'all just, you just named
Chase Young. Chase Young is Chase Young
is the number two best thing that's on the tour.
He didn't say Wale. He didn't say.
About DC in general?
Yes.
So we can put like food on there?
Yes. Oh, anything.
Yeah, for sure. We going.
So let's two steps back. Okay. The question is DC versus North Carolina.
Yeah.
Give no, Maryland versus
Maryland, North Carolina.
DMV versus North Carolina. Okay. Give me your top three things.
Top three things. The Durantula.
Number one.
Wow. For sure.
Call that man by his nickname.
Durantula. Wow. 3-5. That's nasty. Bad man.
Does he know you?
I don't know.
Hey, KD, if you see this, man, shout out to my man some love.
Yeah. We're going to see KD tomorrow, yeah, Sunday, game one. We're going to see KD.
You loving this man down. Y'all play. He the enemy. He
the enemy this series.
He loving the ops.
Listen, he from where I'm from, so yeah.
Dirk would be disappointed.
Who?
Dirk.
Yeah, you're not OTF.
Anyway.
You're not OTF.
Yeah, the Durantula. DC is chocolate city. Like, Black excellence, like you got black lawyers, doctors, the smartest of the smart people in black excellence
crazy
down there. That's number two for sure. And number three,
he's struggling.
It's too many options. The food, dog, but the food
What's the food? Because you said
seafood.
You cannot get
seafood better than you will in the DC metropolitan area anywhere in the country.
Seafood. And Baltimore. Seafood. You don't get better seafood in Louisiana?
It's the same ocean.
You don't get better seafood in Louisiana?
For sure, no. Better. For sure, better than
in Baltimore? Yeah, than it is in Louisiana?
Guaranteed. Yes. Guaranteed.
For sure. For sure.
Wow. So somebody's from Louisiana seafood, in the shop.
DQ, right?
DQ from
there. Yeah.
Yeah,
Alexandria.
Would you agree with that?
So you said
Durantula, Chocolate City.
And
black excellence, you know what I'm saying?
Seafood.
You didn't even name like the brunch capital of the world. You didn't even just say brunch as a whole.
He ain't say nothing about the half smokes.
Nah. All right, hold on. You
look at the half smokes.
This is y'all segment right here.
We not gonna chime in.
I'm staying out of this, Derek.
Okay, top three things. I'm gonna go people.
North Carolina. Go
people. I'm not even gonna say Steph. Michael Jordan. J. Cole. And I'll take a little bit of time with my third one since you took a little bit of time. Does Maryland have beach, mountains, and like in between?
What's in between? Define in between.
The city.
Yes.
Y'all have mountains in Maryland?
Yeah.
Where?
Trump country.
Where?
Oh, like Allegheny. Yeah.
Y'all have like cities out there in the mountains?
No, cities in the mountains.
Does anybody visit the mountains?
People go out there to camp and stuff.
Ain't no other place other than Cali with beach, mountains, and like regular land.
That's not
land,
true. Like Maryland on the coast, just like Cali.
It's no other place like North Carolina with the landscape.
That's
are you going? What are you saying? Are you like
North landscape? Carolina has the best options for seasons, landscape. We got J. Cole and we got Michael Jordan.
That's your three.
Michael Jordan, best hooper ever. J. Cole.
He's the ball's best hooper ever.
Oh my gosh. Did you hear this, man?
We're not even
doing okay, we'll even say, for you, I'll even, for number two best hooper ever.
Okay. He's number one, bro.
J. Cole, would you say J. Cole is the top three artist of our generation?
Yes. No. Oh, wait, artist or rapper?
No. Rapper. We'll say rapper.
Yes.
Are we including females?
That's what I'm saying.
Who are you going to, wait.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Who are you going to say?
Beyonce is over J. Cole. I wish you would say she's not.
Beyonce's a rapper?
You said artist.
We just clarified.
I wanted to make sure.
Hey, top three. No, hey, since you want to talk about Beyonce, yeah. Name your top three Beyonce songs right now.
Oh, are we talking about like radio stuff? Ooh. Or like we talking like for the soul?
You a Beyonce fiend? You part of the Beehive?
I didn't do my list. Damn.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Before we get to the Beyonce, we can get that later.
Ooh, wait.
Excited. Nails and stuff.
DC Brunch. For sure.
Undefeated.
Is it more for the aesthetics or is it the taste of the food?
Everything.
When I'm out in D.C.,
everything.
The vibe is the aesthetic.
Everything. Aesthetic, food, music, vibes, cool. Everything.
Better than Atlanta?
For sure. Okay. Atlanta? No. And this is what I've read on social media. Atlanta is all aesthetic, no quality. The food is bad. The service is bad.
Respect.
So D.C. Brunch.
Y'all see this.
And I heard it's a restaurant there. Full speed.
Yeah. You know D.C. Brunch. Go-Go Music. You know what I'm saying? Go-Go Music is, can't get that nowhere else in the world, in the country. That's number two.
I respect that.
Number three.
I respect this list. I don't respect your list.
number three.
Mumbo Sauce.
They struggling.
Y'all. No, no, no. Look, I'm
oh, athlete. In North Carolina, barbecue is way better than mumbo sauce.
Hmm? And like, number three.
North Carolina is best barbecue.
Damn.
This is our thing.
Who's my third? Who's my third, bro? I'm trying to think of like an actor or actress or something like that. Or like a... It's so Logic. Many actors from...
Logic. It's so many L's from Maryland, bro. Go ahead. Say Logic.
No, hell no. I can't give it to him. I can't claim him. I'm claiming him because he was the president. So that's in D.C. So Obama. He's we claim Obama. We claim Obama. He was in the White House. So we claiming him.
He's from Chicago.
What?
So what? He was in the White House.
And he's from Hawaii. Matter of fact, he's from Hawaii.
His kids went to sit well friends in D.C. So they got residence. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, we claiming them.
That's trash. D.C. That, yeah, this is poop.
Sit well friends. Obama's. Yeah, yes. We claiming them. That's three.
So what were your three things one more time?
DC brunch.
DC has the best brunch in the country to you.
Go-go music.
Is go-go music the best style of music?
It's the most unique style of music in the country.
Okay, I can respect that take.
100%. And the Obamas.
And the Obamas.
The Obamas.
So we got about 5 minutes left in the podcast. I would love to get some quick hits, some hot takes, some
something. Okay, for sure. So I think before we get to that, everybody go round table it. How you bounce back from an L? We gotta. Ooh, ooh. You know what I'm saying? Or you can tell a story of, I mean, if you want to. You can go either,
testimony.
Either how you bounce back from an L or tell a story of when you took an L and what you did to bounce back.
Man.
That hit home.
Depends on what type of L, man.
Also, to keep it general, how you bounce back from an L? All
right. How do I bounce back from an L? I do something that I know I can win at. Right, like revert back to something simple. Make your bed, get a workout in, get a haircut, like feel good, get some kind of juice back going, and then just sit down and redefine like what we gonna do, plan out next steps, keep moving. Really, that's really it.
Y'all can make it y'all bed, huh? That's interesting. Not a bed maker.
You just be having sloppy, huh? You just be hopping in bed sloppy.
Hopping that thing.
Hopping
on that thing.
Hopping that thing.
How about you? How to bounce back from L?
Best way for me to bounce, I think for me, it became a thing of realizing, like, you just got to actually realize, like, the L exists. And that's just for everything in life. Like, if you have emotions, like, I was also the type of person who, like, didn't acknowledge emotions either. And, like, those, like, went sort of hand in hand. The first thing to do is just, like, realize, like, you took the L. And, like, I think it makes it easier.
Accept the L.
Yeah, so you accept the L, you realize what it is, you sit down, you reflect the L. And then after that, I think for me, it become a thing of like just doing things that you know feel good. So like going to work out, things that you know are gonna like genuinely like boost your serotonin, boost your mood, put you back where you're supposed to be at. And then after that, it's just like you take the L for what it is, and then you just learn to apply everything you learned from that L going forward. So, I think something that always helped me, like if it doesn't, I don't spend more than 5 minutes on it, if it won't matter more than 5 years. So like anything that's small, like a small L, like I don't even take that to heart. Just focus on what you can control and it's on to the next.
I think for me, it's just taking the first step. I think it's so hard after you take an L, like you get fired from a job, you break up with your significant other. Like the goal is to get another job. The goal is to hopefully at some point in time, you know, find another person, get married, whatever. But taking that first step is the hardest time. Usually, you kind of want to lay in your bed and woe is me, all that stuff. But I think just taking those small steps, like small fake steps, you know what I'm saying? Like, if I just lost my job, okay, tomorrow I'm going to apply for one job. You know, tomorrow I'm going to, you know, update my resume. You know what I'm saying? If you broke up with your significant other and you down to yourself, okay, like, I'm just going to go on one date, see how it goes. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to sit here all day. I'm just going to plan something and see how it goes. Take one fake step. See how it go, take another fifth step, and just take it one day at a time.
I think it's cliche, but just focusing your energy and understanding that, like, there's good things that come out of losses. Like, every time you lose at something, you're either going to play again, you're going to do it again, or you're going to get better at it. And at the end of the day, you got to feel the L and kind of, like, channel that energy. Like, as bad as it sounds, like, me personally, a lot of my drive, a lot of my focus, and a lot of my push is based off negative energy that I've kind of, like, repurposed and, you know what I'm saying? Use as like billboard material, you know what I'm saying? Hang it up in your room or like always reflect on the time, feeling like, actually feeling hurt, feeling losses. And I'm one of those type of people, like he said, I'm not very like super emotional, but I do feel anger. So like anger pushes me. I'm not gonna like it. put that on other people, but allowing anger to bubble inside of you and push you, keep you going. So,
right. I think I'll say, I'll keep mine kind of simple, but I think it's facts, is just getting around family and getting around community. Kind of, a lot of times when you take that L, it's like you feel super alone. You know what I'm saying? You feel that sense of embarrassment or shame. It's like, damn, like, you don't want to be around your homies. You don't want to pop out in public. And you know what I'm saying? So I think just getting around community and getting around family. Because at the end of the day, you know, if you get around family and you get around community, they don't care about the L you took. You know what I'm saying? I was listening to people, like, in the NBA, like, they literally would talk about, like, losing game in the playoffs. It's like, when you go home, your kids don't care about that game you just lost. They don't care nothing about KD giving you 50, you know what I'm saying? Like, they just want, daddy, that's all they care about. You know what I'm saying? It's like, all that just kind of takes their mind away from it. So I think that same logic can be applied to everyday life. You take that L, just get around family, get around community, and get around people who are going to see you for who you are and not the job or the relationship or whatever the case may be. So that's what I would say, man.
Last thing I'll say real quick on that, I think, too, what's extremely important is, like, reframing the L. And as opposed to saying, like, okay, like, dang, why did this happen to me? Saying, okay, like, how can I bounce back from this? You know what I'm saying? Like, a wise prophet once said, a loss ain't a loss, it's a lesson. Appreciate the pain, it's a blessing. You know what I'm saying? And every loss is a lesson, there's a blessing in it. You know what I'm saying?
It was Harriet Tubman.
Was it Jay-Z?
It's Harriet Tubman.
Harriet Tubman?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know. I think I want to hear.
No, I was
going to
say something that was extremely ignorant.
No, I started laughing, and I was like, I was just...
I think reframing that, like, every loss, there's a blessing in it, there's a lesson in it, you know what I'm saying? So trying to, like, just think positive, okay, like, what is God trying to do here to redeem this situation, you know what I'm saying? And focusing on that and trying to bounce back in that way, I think is super important as well.
Right. So, last quick hitter we got, we're going to do what's in your bag, you know what I'm saying? We got a bunch of steppers in here, you know what I'm saying? So we're gonna play on the, look at this dude. Hey, I said we got a stepper. The first trick day was, look at dude's face. Come on, I said we got a stepper there, he said.
That's news to me.
Let's not get defended in here today. It'll get real nasty.
It's a calm day, it's hot out here. You know what I'm saying? So, we're gonna round table it, all right?
What y'all stink?
I don't know about y'all. What's in your bag? Number one, what's going in your tote bag, crossbody bag, whatever bag you carry to the club with you, number one.
First.
And number two, give me the fit. Like, what you wearing? Give me the fit.
Yeah, that's a good question. Right now, I think what's in, at least for me and my body type, is like the cropped top. Like, not like my belly button hanging out on the physique. But like, I'm not saying one of those, but like a cropped fit.
Form-fitting.
Yeah, like it's not a long tee. It stops a little bit higher up and makes your legs
like what's Ireland be wearing?
Yeah.
Oh! Hey, don't be wearing them jumps though. It's still like all the Carolinas. That's
your swag. Like Zion swag.
A form-fitting top. Nothing too tight.
Because I swear.
We're going to go with some Lucifer pants, man. Baggy is back in.
Tim Duncan.
And I'm going to go with the Common Projects. It's a real underrated shoe. It's an if-you-know-you-know shoe. Y'all used to wearing Jordans and Balenciagas, but it's levels. Sometimes you just need something calm and let people know, like, okay, like, I know how to dress, but I'm not giving y'all all the sauce.
Okay.
And then for the cologne, we going,
You gonna drop the cologne?
Ooh, we going, upgrade
your fragrance.
That's it.
Never drop the good scent.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You didn't give us what's in the bag. What's in your bag?
What's in my bag? What? A Kodak camera. We keep a Kodak camera in the bag. Yeah. All right. That's it.
How about you?
All right. I'm going out. I probably definitely got like. I'm like a jewelry person. Cause I just feel like. Anytime, I'm a bit like sort of basic person.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I like to wear basics. I like to wear some calm, like earth tones. Then I sort of like
that's
to
have.
I like the basics, and then I sort of like let the pieces compliment. I'm a bit like compliment person, because then it's like an aesthetic. So definitely like my jewelry, like my rings, watches. Outside of that, I would definitely say like boots. Like, just being someone who's from the South, I think that's sort of like a staple in my closet, like having a good rotation of boots. But I think
such
it's also
a cute answer.
I think it's a thing. I think it's just a good staple to have, and I feel like for me it's just a good representation of like my personality, especially them still like rooted in Southern culture, but also like the intricate details of them, like they sort of like tell the story with it too. And then outside of that, probably like a good fitted though, because then that's always like the duality to it. But I get like a fitted on with the boots. It's like, oh, you may be from the country, but like, you don't know where I'm from, for real. And that's why I like to play it. I feel like I'm a very diverse person, so I want the fit to be like a little diverse.
This brother is
yeah. All right, so first of all, I'm going to answer the first question, which was when I was asking, what's in your bag? I meant like, literally, like, what's in your bag? So, number one, if I'm stepping out, I got a tote bag, as y'all know. Phone charger's in there. Chapstick is in there. Can't have chapstick me going out, fellas. Bad vibe. Chapstick is in there.
What type of time he on the club?
Wow. I can't. So because I have chapstick, that's the time I'm on.
Hey. Kissing wow. The club, kissing man. Wow. Double here.
Anyways, girl, chapstick. Hey, so y'all know who let's be in there. Ashy, let's be Ashy in the club. Snow White. Anyways,
my girl don't be in the club with me, so I ain't. You mean? Go ahead.
So you gonna be there with Ashy Lips?
Yep,
because you're not there.
Sure am,
my girl. Wow. There, so I gotta be ugly. Wow.
Right? Like what? Yeah. So yeah, charger, chapstick, cologne. I had to smell good. You know what I'm saying? Always keep me to freshen up. What else is going in the bag? What's in there? Oh, my sunglasses for sure. Shades and a mask, because you know we still kind of. Folks who nasty out here, I can do math just in case. And the fit, I'm pretty simple, you know. Laura, if y'all watching this, sponsor me.
Please.
I'm probably our number one. I'm probably our number one, you feel me, customer, you know, ambassador. You know, so I'll probably have one nice little Zara tee. These not Zara, these FaZe. I'll just shout out to, you know, the brand. Shout out to the brand in Rhode Island. It's called FaZe. Good cargo pants. Great drip right here. Shoes, probably some Jordans or, you know, if you had people, I would always have my ankles out, so I might go with some low top shoes, something like that. But keep it real simple, man. You know what I'm saying? And then lately, I've also gotten to the oversized drip a little bit from being in Japan. So might catch me with an oversized shirt, oversized hoodie, something like that. But yeah, you know what I'm saying?
You are single-handedly like head of the brand for Zara in Japan.
Yeah. Sponsor me. Let's tap in, man. Let's do business.
Yeah, I'm real basic. You know what I'm saying? I'm not about to really get into all the. I'm not a dresser. I'm not even about to sit up here and cap like I'm a dresser. I'm also a man, so I don't wear tote bags.
Wow, I'm not a man.
You know what I'm saying? I don't wear tote bags.
You can't wear tote bags.
Nah, utility. It's utility.
No.
Wow.
I'll do a little side.
A little side penny purse.
You do a penny pack.
Little fanny pack. I'll do a fanny pack. I can have my charger, but my sunglasses. Purse. You know what I'm saying? I'll put that in the fanny pack. Mm-hmm. Need a charger at all times. Other than that, bro, I'm gonna keep it basic. I like wearing my tees. You feel me? I've been in a Jesus church. They got a lot of little faith based shirts. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I throw on one of them.
Yep.
Amen.
Jeans. I'm gonna wear my J's. I'm basic. I really am.
Ashy Lips.
I don't care, bro. I don't care about none of that. My ankles. Oh, I like my ankles out too. If I'm going to brunch, I'll switch it up. I got my little like Igaru pants. I think those you know what I'm saying, the European cut Johns. Good drip. Low top kicks. And then the button up shirt. You know what I'm saying? I throw a little necklace on, a little watch. You know what I'm saying? And then a good Valentino motion spray. Shout out my baby girl Chelsea for getting me that. You know what I'm saying? You watching the
lady? Jeez.
Yeah. I'm gonna get it in every time. Every time.
Yeah,
that's it though.
This
boy's in love.
Yeah,
wow.
We'll get it every
time. Go ahead.
What's in my bag? Gotta have a fresh mint, some mints, some deodorant.
It's deodorant in the club?
In the club.
Wow. It's outside. Okay.
Brush. Need the brush.
Facts. Oh, I forgot. I had a brush.
Floss. Comb too. Need the floss.
Bro, y'all got y'all a whole like medicine cabinet. Yeah. Y'all. It's dope though.
Good coming, brush. I'm coming yeah, very, yeah, and what am I wearing? I like to wear like what I call local designers. So support businesses around you, support other artists and creators and making stuff. I got my fave pants on, Four Seasons is my stuff. Nice little leather strap for my peoples. Hat, Amari Delore, so like just supporting people around you, you know what I'm saying? Wearing different things that different people are making. Because one thing I'm gonna tell you is when you go other places, you're not gonna find nobody with what you got on if you got it from somebody you know. You know what I'm saying? So, just a little gym, but yeah, that's all for me.
Okay, okay, I like that. I like that. First of all, shout out to Four Seasons Drip too. Make sure y'all tap into the merch.
Cop up. Yes, sir.
The merch, man. Damn, it's crazy how fast time flies. We had a good conversation, man. But shout out to the shop. You know what I'm saying? This has been a good chop session. You know what I'm saying?
Good guys.
Definitely just want to shout out to you guys. I always end off every podcast episode giving flowers. You know what I'm saying? So I just want to give all of y'all flowers, man, for number one, being brothers of mine, and being able to just hold me accountable, uplift me. You know what I'm saying? I already told Trey, like I said, he's somebody who I met back in 2016 who I always looked up to just from a basketball, how you carry yourself, you know what I'm saying? And even now, bro, stepping into the tech space, everything you're doing with Jimbo and your startup, content creation, bro, super inspiring. So keep doing what you're doing. You know, I already know you got amazing things coming in the next year, next 365. My boy, shit, youngest in charge, ESPN, 22 years old, 2000s. Definitely, like I said, shout out to you, man. Crazy, this is the first time we met in person. It's wild. And I felt like we locked in, you know what I'm saying, like this. So keep doing what you're doing, bro. I know you're going to be at, you know, in front of the screen on ESPN real soon, you know what I'm saying? So I have to keep doing your thing, bro. I'm gonna go to Derek next, because I'm gonna leave the twin brother for last, you know what I'm saying? But proud of you, bro. Everything you're doing from, like I said, honestly, for me, you inspire me a lot as far as how you carry yourself as a family man, bro. Getting married, you know what I'm saying? Raising two kids, bro, as a young black man at 26 years old is not something that she would take for granted, bro. So I wanna give you your flowers, bro, for handling that and just giving me inspiration, bro, on how to move, you know, throughout this space. So, like I said, bro, much love and respect. And like I said, I already know Four Seasons going up.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying?
Stay tuned.
My dog, my round ace book, you know what I'm saying? The reason I'm out in L.A., you feel me? I didn't come to Maryland. Like I said, bro, keep doing what you're doing as far as, you know, working your way through the front office. I'm super proud of everything you've been able to do, you know, transitioning from playing basketball every day with you from when we was kids, bro. Like, legit. Every basketball memory I had has been with you, you know, so being able to transition that now and seeing what you're doing with the Clippers has been super inspirational, super inspiring. Keep doing what you're doing, bro. Super proud of you. Super happy. Obviously, my boy had to shout out Chelsea. So, obviously, that's super inspiring as well, and seeing how you've been able to turn your life around with Jesus and just kind of live, you know, proudly in that. It's super, super inspiring, bro. So, like I said, bro, love you, my dog. Keep doing your thing. You know what I'm saying? Got a couple movies to get before I go back to Japan. But, yeah, man, it's the shop. You know what I'm saying? So, for all you guys listening to this, make sure you guys are liking this podcast, subscribing to this podcast, give us a 5-star rating. It goes a long way. Follow everybody on socials. I'll let everybody kind of, you know, they got, yeah, I want to plug y'all brand, anything like that. I'll open up the floor to you guys.
We going to link them.
You going to link them? Say we're no more.
Right there, just like that.
All right, folks, that's a wrap. Catch y'all next time.
Suave,
I've been in my bag for a while, I'm invincible. Story of a young boss, grinding shit get critical. Calling on my bros one time, cause you special. I had some hood dreams and right rounds for my mentor. Every target that I shoot is on point like a pencil. Different route, change relationships, I'm so sorry. Came up from the trenches and I made it, I say hardly. Now
price drop, time to shop. Get to a Nordstrom Rack store today for first dibs on new markdowns. Now score even more, up to 70% off brands everyone loves at Nordstrom Rack. Denim, dresses, sneakers, tops, and more. Plus, get genius deals on jackets, sweaters, and boots for the whole family. Shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and save up to 70% with new markdowns. But hurry, deals this great won't last.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.